Looks like it.
Are we on the air? No one even told me we were on the air.
We're not on the air.
We're not on the air? You sure?
I don't know.
Can someone tell us? Are we on the air? Someone know?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows we're on the air. Anyway, this is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, not even knowing if we're on the air. They just snuck up on us like that. But it's after 11.
It's so 11 o'clock. We must be on the air.
It's 11 o'clock, which is 2 o'clock in New York and 1 o'clock in Chicago, and I guess we're on the air. And my name is Penn Jillette. I'm of the group Penn and Teller, magician, juggler, and now, for some reason, radio guy. I have sitting across from me at Vintage Nude Studio here in Las Vegas, I have Michael Goudeau, who is also a juggler. And we're two of the writers on the show BS, which is the name of a show we can't even say. They give me a radio show, and I'm very limited in what I can say on this show. We've known about this. When did we talk about doing this radio show? We talked about like in June or July or something?
July, I think.
Yeah, something like in July. We've been talking about it that whole time, about doing the radio show, and even then, we're not prepared.
That's right.
Even then, we do
six
not
months.
Know. 6 months for one show, and we were not prepared, did not know when we were on the air. That's what happens when you put jugglers on the
That's
radio.
That's right.
They just don't understand the basic premise. We've been doing some research into FCC rules. For those of you who don't know, and the FCC is talked about constantly on the radio, kind of like when you're in high school and you have to talk about the principal
sure.
all the time. But it's been talked about far too much, but we have to say some stuff about it, because all of a sudden, you know, when you listen to the radio, when you're a radio listener, you don't really delve that much into the FCC stuff. And the FCC has gotten even nuttier over the past couple of years, since the Janet Jackson
sure.
breast thing, which happened, which was, when was that?
It was Super Bowl, last year.
No, it was longer than last year.
2 years?
2 years ago? Yeah, something like that. See, this is where you get your information
That's right.
here on Free
FM.
This is
a good place to pick it up.
And there's this part of it that really bugs me. And you've certainly heard just about everybody on radio deals with sexual issues all the time. I mean, a big part of about radio was talking about sex. And everybody talks about it in kind of baby talk. And like they're in the schoolyard or something. Everybody talks about, you know, they have to say do it and stuff like that, and they can't talk like adults. And everybody's used to that. Everybody's
sure.
used to all the FCC wars with the different shock jocks and mostly morning guys. What interested me is that the FCC said in this last round of stuff, and I'm good friends, in terms of disclosure, I'm good friends with a guy named Bob Korn Revere,
sure.
who is a big First Amendment attorney and has done a lot of stuff. He did the Supreme Court. He called me before we went to the Supreme Court, which is very, very hip, you know. It's like you know, it's just a fabulous thing. Because there's nothing like arguing in front of the Supreme Court, you know. Because, you know, then you have to be prepared. You can't just start the Supreme Court going, oh, are we,
did we start?
Were you talking to me? Did we start? Is it now? Did we start? We can't do that. You
I
can't do that.
The Supreme Court has to turn and face you, though. I mean, you can tell because they're looking at you.
So
it's easier. No one's looking.
That's the bad thing. You know, that we've been, how long have you been juggling, performing?
25 years.
25 years. And yeah. I've been doing shows for 30 years. And radio is weird because there's no audience, there's no one you're talking to. So I was talking to Bob Korn Revere, and he says that they have said the FCC is going to start enforcing the blasphemy rules.
Yeah.
There are rules on the book about blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. And although on this show I don't think you'll hear too many problems of crossing the line with sexual talk, I think my very existence crosses the line of blasphemy. And I asked Bob a direct question, which was, if you go on the radio and state there is no God, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you believe that.
Sure.
You believe that deep in your heart, there is no God. Does the FCC come down on you, right?
Right.
And I had some talks with CBS about doing the radio show, mm-hmm. and I would say to them, when they would ask, because I'd already talked to Bob Korn Revere, I'd say, you know, I may say, at some time, in passing, I may say, there is no God. For instance,
so,
I may say,
right now.
You know, Goudeau, the movie King Kong is out. The
sure.
movie King Kong
mm-hmm.
is out, a big epic. It got knocked off the box office top top spot this week, but there is no God. I might just throw that in at any time. And it's not...
As proof that there's no God, it was knocked off the top of...
Well, you saw King Kong. Should it be the number one movie in the...
No, it should have been knocked off.
Okay, but it was knocked off by like some quasi-religious Narnia thing.
Sure.
So it's called Narnia?
Yeah, Chronicles of Narnia.
And it's everybody's saying this is a Christian movie.
Yeah.
Is it? You didn't see
it. I saw it. I did see it.
You saw Narnia?
Yeah.
Is it a Christian movie?
Not that I could tell. Well, I mean, the lion died and came back to life, maybe, you know. Oh, that's like Jesus. But Christian, you know, my kids certainly wouldn't get that out of it, no.
Right, and your kids are not Christian.
My kids are not Christian, no.
So they wouldn't have
that. As far as I know.
So the question is, if we say there is no God, it's possible that we are violating FCC regulations, which is really nutty, because I thought the idea of the country was the marketplace of ideas. I thought that people said any nutty thing they wanted, and then the public decided if they wanted to go with this nutty thing or that nutty thing. You know, there's that horrible thing of the miners that are now trapped in the mine and probably dying, probably dead.
Who knows?
I don't know. But carbon monoxide levels are really, really high. And I won't watch people's grief on TV. I just won't watch that. You know, when they stick a microphone in someone's face and say, your husband is probably dying, how are you feeling? I can barely, like in a Columbo episode, I can barely watch, like, funeral scenes because death is so sad to me. See, that's why. Because I'm an atheist, death is sad.
If I
were Christian, you know,
it'd
during
be a celebration.
The... Yeah! Someone's dying. They're going to a better place. Yeah! Let's party on. They don't seem to act like that.
They don't.
But in theory, if the person's going on, there should be a cell. And I guess the Irish. There's Irish wakes and stuff where they're kind of celebrating.
You know, in Louisiana, we do the march with the jazz, you know, down the street.
Yeah, but that's... the jazz in...
Okay, New Orleans jazz down the street.
Yeah, it's kind of slow and out of tune and very Woody Allen. Isn't New Orleans jazz kind of sad to begin with?
Well,
I mean, there's not... I guess they're celebrating. Not now, you know?
Well, they just can't take turns soloing. Everybody got a solo at once, I think, is the problem.
Everybody solos at once, so that gives it kind of that, out of tune, rickety kind of sound. But I guess New Orleans jazz is supposed to be celebratory. But I find just sadness. But yet, when the President of the United States, even after the First Amendment says, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion... Even though the First Amendment says that crystal clear, you know, I am not offended when people go on TV and say we're praying for the miners, providing that praying is not the first thing they do.
Well, that's what they said this morning.
Did they?
They did, yes.
Yeah.
The miners are in trouble, and so we're praying for them. I said send oxygen. They said we'll pray.
Okay. Well, and I don't even mind President Bush. I don't mind him saying that he's praying for the miners.
Right.
I just believe that that's an individual thing that you can decide for yourself, whether you want to pray or not. And it's okay to say it. It's perfectly okay for the president to say, I'm praying. I'm worried about him. I'm praying because I'm a Christian and that helped get me elected. Whatever he wants to say, he can say that. But this whole idea that blasphemy on the radio, the fact that my first show, which I didn't know started, I want to add, that my very first show that I would ever do on CBS, that I could be fined right away. And this is like 2 years in prison or something? They've done something crazy.
I hope not.
That I could, just for saying there is no God, is blasphemy. Now, the examples that that they usually give is like using... using things like, you know, to damn someone to hell or something.
Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice. Godfrey Daniel. But all the stuff that's supposed to be like that, you could go to prison for under this new thing.
But you're allowed to say there is a God.
You're
on
allowed
radio.
To say there is a God on the radio.
You just can't say there is no God on the radio.
Yeah, which is the first part. You know, Bush, and this is something that's so wacky to me. Bush seems to really dig Muslims. Have you noticed that? He like says really good stuff about Muslims. You know, we're all worshiping the same God and so on. But one of the things, the prayer in Islam is there is no God but God. Which that's the way, one way to translate it. It's also translated, there is no God but Allah. In other words, there is no God but our God. Which is essentially what every single religious person does, right?
Sure.
I think it was Richard Dawkins who said that every single religion is an atheist You know, right. Everybody's atheist except they leave one God out. So they
exactly.
say, there's no Allah. You know, you talk to any Christian and you say, do you believe in Allah? And they say no. You know, they believe in Jesus Christ
right.
or whatever.
What happened to Zeus? He seemed like a good God to me.
Was he good? I thought he was as capricious as the others.
Yeah, but I like that.
You like a capricious God?
I like capricious, yes.
You like a capricious God? We're going to be doing a radio show here. I guess we may already have been fired. We didn't know we were on the air. We may not don't know when we're off the air. We'll be doing a radio show 1 hour this time. If you found this show and you're listening to it, you know where we are. And we're going
to
take...
You know when we were supposed to start. We don't.
Yeah,
you do.
You tuned in and you heard the music. It's that jazz music was written by Mike Jones,
mm-hmm.
and he's playing piano on it. We have Lon Bronson and a few horn players and a drummer who we don't need to name. And then I'm playing bass on that little kind of groovy uh-huh. theme music. And I think the rest of Free FM is all this heavy kind of rock and roll, because freedom is rock and roll, but
sure.
freedom is also jazz. We have a little bit of a bebop jazz tune. But we don't have really very much idea. You know, everybody else that does radio starts out at a small station, then builds up, and you learn a lot
right,
along
sure.
the way. We know a lot about juggling. We know a lot about magic. We don't know a lot about radio, so help us.
That's
we
probably apparent at this point.
We have an email account called, which is penradio@gmail.com. penradio@gmail.com. And just write in if there's something you'd like us to talk about or you want to give a comment, go ahead. And also, we're going to take some callers and put them on the air, because that seems good. And the number is 866-313-FREE. F-R-E-E. That's 3733. So it's 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. And if people want to call in and talk about stuff, we'll be getting to that. We looked over the news this morning, because that seemed to be part of our job, as well as knowing when we were on the radio. And speaking of the marketplace of ideas, there's a few things in the news today about that. There's this whole... did you see this article about the alcohol ads?
I did.
For every ad, a minor... This is a different kind of minor than the miners that are trapped underground. For every ad that they say, they drink 1% more? Is
each
that right?
Additional ad viewed per month increased the number of drinks consumed by 1%.
Now,
holy moly. Man.
Now, it can't be smooth, right? I mean, it can't be. When they break it down like this, I think that this is one of the earmarks of bad statistics, is when they have that broken down. Whenever it looks like it might be on the front of USA Today, I think you know you have very, very bad statistics. But let's take as a premise that
they're right. Okay.
That it does increase this. Why aren't advertisements covered under free speech? Why can't you take out billboards that say, do heroin, it's fun? I mean, in the marketplace of ideas, isn't the idea that you should be able to say anything? I mean, isn't that the
idea? Somebody's got to babysit us, right?
I mean, is that the point?
I think that's what the decision has been made.
And there's an article in the New York Times today in the science section. Tuesday's a good day, because Tuesday's the science section in the New York Times. And besides the great article about cute, which I want to get to mm-hmm. a little later, there's this article about Wikipedia and Encyclopedia Britannica, which I think really makes the whole argument against the FCC right there. The article says that Wikipedia, for those of you who don't know, is you can click it right up in your
sure.
browser. It has it right there. And it is an encyclopedia put together by everybody.
By everybody. You can go on and add stuff, change stuff if you
want. And you can add nut stuff if you want. And that's the part. There's no police except everybody.
Right.
You know, everybody has the freedom. Everybody's a cop. And the jokes are, you know, everybody that I talk to have all these jokes that, you know, Wikipedia is wrong about everything. But turns out with this study a Wikipedia article averaged four mistakes.
Four mistakes per article, yes.
Per article. And which seems bad to me.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is top down, which is a person, you know, there is a committee, there's a company that decides everything that goes mm-hmm. into Britannica. They get three mistakes.
Three are
per article,
yeah.
And it looks like Wikipedia is catching up on them. And I think if you look at Thomas Jefferson's writing, if you look at what the United States was formed on, it is about the idea that we'll let any nut say anything, and then the people will come along and correct this nut with whatever he wants, and then we'll do them. But Bob Corn Revere has called in. He's on my second line. Can you get him in here? We'll ask him about this. We'll ask him when we're on the air, first of all, and then we'll ask him that. But why isn't the idea of everybody? Are you there, Bob? Is Bob there? Okay, Bob is not there. What is wrong with the self-correcting thing? Why can't I go on the radio and say there's no God? Why can't you go on the radio and say heroin is great and take out an ad for that? And then other people who think heroin's a bad idea say that against it. Is Bob there now, finally?
No,
he's not.
He's never been there.
So I guess what they found out
there is no Bob either.
the Supreme Court has found out that Bob Corn Revere wants to be on the the radio, and they've stopped him entirely. But that's always been, when you read the Jefferson stuff, mm-hmm. you read the Jefferson stuff and you read it out, it really thinks like he wants any whack job to say anything they want anytime. That seems like the basic idea of that. And ideas should be dangerous. You know, I mean, I think Hollywood pumps it up a little bit. They try to say they're really important and they have control over the culture and so on. But the fact is that ideas are important, but I think good ideas are more important than bad ideas. And one can
win
out.
Not all ideas are created equally.
Exactly. But I think they should all be. I don't think the government needs to decide that blasphemy is some sort of evil that has to be stopped by the government. So, this is Penn Jillette and Michael Godeau, and we're on the radio. We're going to be taking some calls very soon. The email is pennradio, PENNRADIO, @gmail.com. Write in. Tell us what you think. Tell us especially why you think the government has to look over what is said. You know, I did this thing. I'm not going to read it now, but I'll probably read it later in the week. I did this thing for government radio, NPR. They do this thing called This, I Believe. And people just go on. It's individuals sure. talking about this. And they do some from regular citizens.
Right.
And they also do some from nuts. From nuts.
They
like
let nuts
me.
On.
And they brought me on to do the atheist point of view.
Sure.
So I said, this I believe there is no God. And the thing that blew my mind and blew their minds was that most of the stuff was positive. So there is an audience out there. There is an audience that wants to hear people say there is no God without following it. But God. But just, there is no God. There, and I don't know why those people can't have a voice on the radio, but if those people were to have a voice on the radio, I'm going to try to be it.
You're volunteering?
I'm volunteering.
You're stepping up.
This is Penn Jillette and Michael Godeau in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking on Free FM. We'll be back after this. Take some phone calls.
105.9 WC.
Yeah, that's the music. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas.
That's you playing bass?
Yeah, I'm playing bass on it. It's pretty good, isn't it?
That's good.
Sounds all right. Yeah,
I'm liking it.
That's a big old upright bass, and I'm banging the doghouse, as they say. Do we finally have Bob on the line or not?
Hello.
Hey, Bob. We now have. This is Bob Corn Revere, big shot First Amendment attorney. How are you doing, sir?
Well, we had him for a second.
We had him for just a moment. Just a moment, Bob was here. I shouldn't do an introduction, I guess. I guess he hung up with fear when he heard he was a big shot First Amendment attorney there. Okay, I want to talk a little bit. You saw King Kong, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, and how was it?
Do I have to answer that?
See, I wouldn't go to see it.
Well, that's probably a fine choice.
Yeah, because, I saw the Lord of the Rings thing,
mm-hmm.
and I could not have hated it more. Now, this is probably going to get me in more trouble than saying there is no God. Because I think that Lord of the Rings is like
a pretty big
very, very popular movie, isn't it?
It is.
And I don't like fantasy. I just don't like, fantasy like penthouse fantasy, is fine. Sexual fantasy, I'm cool with. But, elves and hairy toes and stuff like that. And I went to the opening. I went to the big deal opening
sure.
in New York City. So you can't leave I mean, I guess you can leave, but it seems really embarrassing because you're like the stars are sitting
sure,
around
they're sitting
you and
behind
stuff.
You.
So you have to like play sick.
Sure.
If you're gonna be able to get out of it. As a matter of fact, I went with a I went to a movie with Debbie Harry. You know, I went with a movie with her. A big opening in New York, not Lord of the Rings, but another opening, and she hated the movie. And I don't want to say what movie it was because it wasn't that bad. Okay. But and all the stars were there.
What does she know?
And Debbie Harry is a real punk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I've met you know Sex Pistols and I've met Clash and I've met the Ramones and I've met all those guys and none of them can touch Debbie Harry, who is just one of the most clear-headed, strong human beings I've ever met in my life. So when she's sitting in a movie and it's bad, it doesn't matter, you know? So she just stands up and walks out of the movie. At the opening. And there's, like, photographers and stuff out there. So all of a sudden, you know, I consider myself a pretty aggressive guy, and I try to stand up for what I believe and all of that stuff. I'm really, trying to do that kind of strength thing. But all of a sudden, I turn into Woody Allen, you know? So she's walking out of this movie. There's these photographers, and I'm behind her, right? Now, she's strong and proud, and I don't like this movie. I'm walking out. That's all. She makes no statement to anybody. She doesn't trash the movie. There's nothing cowardly about it. I no longer want to be here. I'm a free individual. I'm Debbie Harry. I'm walking out. You know, the way a human being should be. I mean, that's the way your parents brought you up, right?
Yes.
You just, what you believe, you just act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And here is Debbie Harry doing that perfectly. I mean, she is just strong.
Sure.
And not saying, you know, all the people making this movie should die or I'll never work with you again. And she's not screaming, this sucks. She's not doing anything terrible.
She's just not enjoying it, she's leaving.
So she walks out of the movie. Why is she walking out? Nobody's business, right? Doesn't matter at all. She walks out, we get in the car, we go away. That's the way human beings are supposed to act.
Mm-hmm.
But I am two steps behind her, going, She's a little sick to her stomach. She's not feeling well. She's not, and I'm doing this kind of mime act.
Where I'm covering for her.
Because if Debbie hears me, she will hit me. You know, she does not want this like wimp loser coming up behind her and taking away. I mean, that's the worst thing in the world.
Sure.
Right? You really strongly make a statement, and your date behind you is taking it back.
Right.
I'd like to apologize for the way he's acting. I'm terrible. So that's what I'm doing. Okay, I'm in that role, and I'm motioning to my stomach and going, she's a little bit sick, a little bit nauseated. She's a little nauseated. And I walk this whole gauntlet of press who don't care, you know? Penn Jillette walking out of a movie means nothing, right? It's not like this is, this is somebody like who's a, this is, you know, this is some big star. This is not, you know, Ben.
The head of the studio who made it.
Yeah, not walking out. There's no news. It's not one of the actors, you know? It's just a juggler is walking out of a, but I'm still so kind of self-absorbed and so kind of cowardly that I walk out. So, Lord of the Rings, I was not with Debbie Harry. I was with a different date, and I didn't walk out. I sat there the whole time. And
Did Debbie Harry catch you making stomach motions? Is that why she didn't go to Lord of the Rings with you?
I think that Debbie Harry, caught me alibiing a few too many times. You know, there's nothing I respect more than that kind of strength in a human being, and it's what I aspire to be. But when I'm actually confronted with the simple white light, white heat truth of a human being that really is themselves and states that clearly, I can't handle it. Complete fraud, complete phony. You know, and I read the stuff, you know, I read all the stuff about tough, strong-willed people, but when it comes right down to it, walking out of a movie with photographers around it, terrifying to me. So that's the only way.
You're peaceful. You're a peace-loving guy.
I'm a peace-loving
guy. You don't want that confrontation. You know, who knows that the reporters are going to go nuts?
Yeah, I guess so.
Pendulette's walking out of the movie. Shut the projector off. We're going down.
CNN guy is there in his whole Storm outfit going, he's walking out of the movie. I mean, it's so humiliating that anybody could have such a strong cowardice, you know, and it's also coupled with this too strong a sense of self. You know, that's the thing about narcissism.
It's the perfect combination.
Oh, I know. Is that I really think that me walking out of a movie, you know, is gonna really hurt someone's feelings. Like someone cares what you think. You know. Nobody cares, and that's my point about
freedom. We're back to the FCC, aren't we?
We're back to the FCC.
I'm amazed. How did you do that?
I don't know why anyone cares what I say, and I should recognize the fact that it's just not that important. Well, that I should be able to say what I want.
What happened the other day? You were telling me a story earlier.
Yeah, this is a story where
thing?
I would like to know, and I hope we get a call on this or two. This is probably going. This is. Am I a jerk? Is Penn a jerk? I went to an electronics store. I guess I don't have to say the name of it because I shouldn't plug them. And they did nothing wrong. They acted perfectly, so maybe I should. But I was there with my daughter, Moxie. And my daughter is just 7 months old today.
Mm-hmm.
So this was New Year's Day, so she was a little over six months old. And I walk in, and my wife is Easy is pregnant with our next child, and she's on bed rest. So she can't go out.
She's not allowed to walk around.
No, she's up a half hour every 2 hours, which I don't know if that's bed rest or lazy, up a half hour every 2 hours. But anyway, that's what
Did you hear the doctor tell her she should stay there?
No, I didn't.
Sorry,
I actually
another
did.
Issue. Sorry.
That's another issue. That's another very important issue. But so I decide to take Moxie out, and we're going to go out, just father and daughter.
Sure.
And we go out to the electronics store, and I'm going to buy a UPS, you know, for backup, and I want to get, like, a tripod and stuff. It's all electronic. It's real guy shopping.
Sure.
But my daughter's 7 months old. She doesn't know the difference, so I can
it's
take
colors.
Her. Later, I'll have to take her to, like, toy stores and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now we can go electronic shopping. And we have this little thing that fits in to the shopping cart for the city.
A stroller seat.
A little cloth thing. That she belts into, which I could not handle at all. And this big guy, mean-looking guy, comes up, about my size. But guys my size terrify me, right? He's a big guy, big African-American guy, comes over and says, really like your show, man. I go, thanks, you know. And he goes, oh, you got the little seat there. And I go, yeah. And he goes, these things are great. So then two guys, probably combined weight of 600 pounds.
Two monsters are
hovering over this 20-pound little girl and trying to strap her in. And this guy really did help me. It was great. So now Moxie and Penn go shopping.
Yeah.
Big super electronics store, great one here in Vegas. And we're walking around, and people are really nice. You know, I mean, that's the thing that getting on TV and stuff a little bit popular is that you learn that people are tremendously nice. They're just pleasant. They're sweet. Somebody's saying, oh, that's Moxie, you know, because...
Sure, they all know her crazy name.
Well, the end of the year thing. The end
right.
of the year thing in the review journal here in town, one of the... On the best list, you know, on the best list, along with best single and best movie and all this other stuff, is best celebrity baby name. And there is Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette. Her middle name is Crime Fighter. Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette. She's right there in the paper. So that very day, we go to the electronics store. And people are coming up and going, oh, that's Moxie. She's so cute. Because she is cute. She's very cute. And the New York Times has a definition of cute, and Moxie fits it.
She fit it.
Yeah. And we're going to, and I'm really feeling on top of the world. Just on top of the world. And everything's going wonderfully and beautifully. And everybody's saying hi. And it's really sweet. You know, I don't mean, a lot of people who are celebrities, I guess they're bigger celebrities than me, of course, complain.
Not physically, but.
Yeah, complain about what a drag it is. To be recognized, but this is nothing but sweet. You know, everybody's being. I was fiddling with this cord. Everybody's being really nice, and it's like living in a small town. It's like in Mayberry. You know, hi, Ange. Hi, Barney.
Everybody knows your
hi,
name.
Hi, Abby. Everybody knows, and it's just really nice and sweet. People are really kind, and I'm sitting on top of the world. And everything that I am going to buy, I let Moxie taste because that's her only way to tell things. She puts it in her mouth.
Sure.
She tastes the UPS. She tastes the DV tape. She tastes the tripod. And we're just walking out. And I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I guess this is an important part. I'm wearing a sweatshirt that my wife got me. It's a hoodie. You know, the kids love those. And it says on one side, no. And it says on the other side, God.
So when you zip it up?
No, God.
Okay.
Right. But I'm wearing it open. It's not a big deal. One woman comes up and says, oh, does it say no, God, on the front and in the back? It says no, K-N-O-W, God, in the back. And I go, no, it's a simple atheist statement. She goes, oh, okay. You know, she's wearing a cross around her neck. She's got a cross around her neck. I got my no, God. We're in America. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Everything's beautiful. And then And then I start walking out, and this guy, almost out the door, this very well-dressed man, about 40, strong, well-dressed guy, says to me as I walk by, "That's a really dangerous shirt to be wearing." And instead of keeping walking, I turn around, and we're done now?
For a break,
we're
done.
We're going to go for a break.
I'll
tell the rest of this story right after this confrontation. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas with Michael Godeau. We'll be back with the rest of the story.
BonChicago.com. That's B-O-N-B-O-N Chicago.com.
Quick recap. I went to a big electronics store with my daughter, and we're having a wonderful Mayberry day, you know, whistling. She's in the shopping cart. She's belted in. She's safe, following all the rules. She's got her little soft, plushy thing
Everyone
in front of her.
Everyone knows your name.
Everyone knows my name. It's just it's like
Hi,
cheers.
Ben.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, everybody's here. So I'm walking out. I'm wearing a sweatshirt, a hoodie that... that my wife bought me, that says on one side of the zipper, no, and on the other side of the zipper, God. So it says no God. But it's unzipped and folded over. You have to really look carefully. And I'm really not trying to make a statement. This is just, I mean, obviously I'm making a statement. I mean, it's you can't be oblivious to that. But it's like wearing a cross around your neck, you know. You get used to it. You're not thinking about it like it's a really big deal. Yeah. And so I come out of the, I'm just coming out. I've made my purchase. I've bought it. The shopping cart is, you know, 10 yards from outdoors and freedom. It's 10 yards from free FM, just straight
you're
ahead.
You're paid. You're running.
Everything's going great. And as I walk by this very well-dressed, physically fit man, maybe in his mid-30s,